Go with me to the book of Luke, please. Luke chapter 13. I'm going to exhort for a short time this morning because we are going to be out of here early, but we're going to take communion and we're going to pray. And I'm believing in the name of Jesus. There's some things I can't share with you now, but there's some things I really want to share with you on a personal level. When the time is right, I will do that. But the God that you serve is an amazing God. I don't think we really realize, I seriously don't think that we realize how amazing God is. And, you know, God is just marvelous, man. Look, listen, church, you know, you've been hearing me say over the months now, over the years possibly, you know, make it your priority to be in the presence of God. And I'm telling you that there are rewards for that. Make it your high priority. With everything that is going on, with all the busyness and all the demands placed upon you, make sure that you leave space, okay, for the Lord in your life. Do not ever let anything take the place of Jesus Christ in your life. Practice His presence. Get into His presence because He's hungry to share with you. Okay, and more than sharing with you. What is done in this story here that I'm going to read, only three or four verses. What God has done in the life of this individual, He wants to do in the life of you today. No matter what your station is, no matter what is going on, okay, there's a God who loves you and who cares. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
All right then. So Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when she saw Jesus, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And that's where I'm stopping today. Now, last week, if you remember, I spoke about woman, thou art loosed. Okay? And we spoke about how, we didn't speak about woman, you're loosed. Loose them and bring them to me. That was a topic. And it was Palm Sunday, and it was talking about, you know, Jesus sending two of his disciples into the town to loose the colt and her donkey, the donkey and her colt, and bring them to him. And we went through that last week. And I made reference to this story here, and I dealt with the words. When you read the further down, you will see also the story is much bigger than what I've just read today. But the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, go back to that story, and I'm going back to it, and I'm bringing to you this morning what I believe the Lord wants to speak into your heart. So open your hearts this morning, and I'm bringing something different from this example of a story that I brought last week. Now, the woman, there's five things I'm going to mention about the woman. I think it's five things. Number one, the Bible says that she was in the synagogue. So notice where she was. She was in church. Now, even though she was in church, she was not well. And we read that because the second thing that is mentioned is that the woman had a spirit of infirmity. Now, and that's where I want to focus on a little bit, okay? The woman had a spirit of infirmity. That word infirmity is actually the Greek word esthesia, and it means feebleness. Right throughout the New Testament, it means feebleness, it means sickness, and it means weakness. Those three things, okay? Depending on where you are reading, you will see different words. But essentially, and I want you to remember that, it means feebleness, it means sickness, and it also means weakness. And that word weakness is used more times in the scriptures with the same word than we realize. Now, infirmity is spoken of in the Bible in three different broad categories. And I'm going to give you examples, all right? For example, the Bible says this woman had a spirit of infirmity. But when the word infirmity is used, it can mean infirmity in human nature. Let me give you some scriptures. I'm recording it for my phone, so I'm going to say the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Hebrews 14:15, Hebrews 5:2, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. These are just some of the scriptures where infirmity is used in human nature. So it's human nature. The second category is the human body. Let me give you the scriptures, then I'm going to come back. Matthew 8:17, Luke 5:15, Luke 9:12, Luke 13:12, John 5:5, John 11:4, Acts 28:9, 1 Timothy 5:23, and Hebrews 11:34. I don't expect you to get all of that, so don't worry. As I said, I'm saying it because I'm recording it. Okay, so that's the human body. Some scriptures where infirmity is used in regards to the human body. So we have human nature, human body. The third category is it's used in the Bible figuratively of the mind and spirit. The word infirmity is used figuratively in the Bible of the mind and spirit. Let me give you scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, Romans 8, 26, Galatians 4, 13, and Psalm 16, verse 4. Now, when the Bible says that it's used in human nature, and one of the scriptures I gave you, I'm just going to give you one example of each, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says that Jesus, okay, was our high priest, okay, and he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You get that, church? So whatever your infirmity is, whether it's feebleness, whether it's sickness, or whether it's weakness, okay, God sees that. He knows what you're going through, and he cares. Don't we serve a good God? Amen. Church, he cares. He cares, okay? So Hebrews 4:15 again, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Whatever weakness that you have, okay, and you're going through, whatever failures you may have in life, God knows about it, and he cares. He is touched with those feelings, okay? He cares very much. The human body, John chapter 5 and verse 5, one of those scriptures I gave you, it talks about the man at the pool of Bethsaida who had an infirmity in his body for 38 years. And then Jesus provoked him. He said four things to him. Number one, he said, I don't even reel them all off, but he said to him, what do you want me to do? No words to that effect. What do you want me to do? And then the man said, well, sir, you know, or he said to him, do you want to be healed? And he said, I have no one to lift me up and to put me in the pool. Because you know the story. The first person entered into the pool was the person that was healed every single day. When the angel of the Lord came, they stirred up the waters. But he said he had nobody to put him in. And then somebody would come before him, go into the pool, and so they would get healed. He would remain the same. And can you imagine that? This man had this condition for 38 years, but I'm not going to go into that now. But that's just an example of infirmity in the human body. And the third thing we said was infirmity is used figuratively of the mind and spirit. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 36, I'm going to actually go there. You can go there with me if you like. Romans 8 and verse 26. And this is what it says. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. That's the word aphasia, which means weakness here. Okay? The Spirit helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever been in, sure you have, you've been in a position where you're burdened with something, but you don't, the words, you can't find the words coming out and your spirit is groaning? That's what's happening right here. And the Bible is, well, it uses the word weakness here, which is that same word, aphasia. So the three different examples of three different broad uses of the word. But the Bible says that the third thing is, number one, she was in the synagogue. Number two, she had a spirit of infirmity. Number three, she had it 18 years. So she had it for a long time. And number four, the Bible says that she was bent over. I did a little more. I remember mentioning this last week. because this was an example that I used with women that are lost. But when I did a little bit more search on this, and I did a little bit more thought on this, and you know, that woman was actually really bent right over. And the evidence is right there in the Word of God, because number four, she was bent over, but number five, she could in no way raise herself up. So she was actually crouched right over and walking like this, seeing the floor and not seeing the sky, not seeing anybody else. And that's where she was. The Bible says that she could in no way raise herself up. So it wasn't just like this. Because, you know, it's a big deal, but not a big deal. You know, even to walk like that. But she was really, really bent over. And the Bible says that she could no way raise herself up. She could not be straightened up. She could not be unbent. She could not look up. She could not be raised. I kind of looked at some of the words in the story regarding this, and this is what came up. She could not be unbent. She could not be raised. She could not be straightened up. But then along came Jesus on the scene. And what did he say? He said what? Woman, thou art loose. What did he do? He spoke the word of authority. Church, do you know that you've got authority? Yes. Do you know that you have a word of authority that God has given you? Do you know that? You've got it. You've got it. And you, God expects us to use it. And so we've got to use whatever that God has given us, whatever the situation is, whether it's of human nature, whether it's sickness in your body, or whether it's a spiritual thing, whatever it is, guess what? The blood of Jesus Christ has it covered. Amen. And God has made that available for you and I today. And the stance I take personally, I'm speaking now, the stance I take in my body, of course there are attacks in our body, and we all have that at some point on some level or the other. The stance I take is that Jesus Christ went to the cross. One of the reasons he went to the cross was for my healing. And so I stand on the promises of God. I stand on the word of God. And even though the pain may be there and the aches may be there and whatever may be there, I stand on the word and I let it out of my mouth. I fill the atmosphere, okay, with the word of God. And then I end up thanking God. See, again, we were singing that song, Thank You, Jesus. You don't wait sometimes. I don't wait until I see the manifestation of something. I begin to thank God for it, and then I get on with my life. You know what I don't do, church? And please hear me with this. I don't focus on the negative. And I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Now, I know sometimes it's difficult, especially if you're constantly in pain. I know that it's sometimes difficult. I know that. Okay, but what I try to do, let me give you an example. I was saying to the Lord this week, I said, when did that go away? Because, you know, I had pain in my body. And I just did what I told you that I do just now. I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ, release scriptures, agree on it. And then, you know, so at times, there was a pain in my hand one time, and I didn't even know when it went. I was saying to the Lord, you know, it was there for weeks. And then I just, you know, I was exercising my hand and speaking over it. I look at my body sometimes and I talk to my body and I command it to be well and I rebuke whatever is causing that sickness that's behind it. And it's there for weeks. And then it's just the other day, I realized that that pain is absolutely gone. To be honest, I couldn't even remember which hand it was. I couldn't even remember what hand it was. I said, Lord, was it this one or this one? Doesn't matter, it's gone. And I'm able to use both hands, you know, and praise God and so forth. Why did that happen? Because I didn't focus on the thing. It was still there. As I said, it was there for weeks. But I focus on the word of God. I focus on God himself. And I focus on releasing and doing what God said, word says. I release it. And by the way, when I release it with boldness. I release it with authority. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Okay, and there are principalities and powers that don't want to see you heal, whole, and well. Okay, these principalities and powers didn't want this woman to be loose from her infirmity. But Jesus came on the scene and says, woman, thou art loosed. Now, you know what the word of God says? Jesus said, I believe it was greater works than these will you do. Why? Because I'm going to my Father. And it's a beautiful thing. Jesus is there, John 17, interceding on our behalf. We are the church. We are the light. Church, you have the light, you have the salt, you have the power. God has called you and you are anointed for service. Amen. If you're not a baby. Seven different levels of anointing. Babies can't have any responsibility because they don't understand it. Toddlers, they're all self-centered. So those two stages, you notice, they can't handle the anointing. They're not ready for service yet. But when you move into the other five areas or levels of growth, you are ready for service. And God wants to use you and use you greatly. So I'm here to tell you today, whatever is stopping you, whatever is ailing you, in the name of Jesus Christ, it will stop in the name of the Lord. Today is the day it stops. You've got to determine that. I'm saying it, I'm decreeing it, but you've got to say, you know what, enough is enough. And there are times in my life when I said, enough is enough. Stop no more. And I rebuke the enemy, and I just release the power of God, the word of God, over my life, over the situation, or whatever is going on. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. I'm going to read it to you because I've written it out, even though I've got it open here, but I'll read it out because I've got it written. It says this, and then I'm finished. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, I don't know if you notice, two times in that one verse is talking about the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And that's what you have. You have the third person of the Godhead living and dwelling in you as his children. Okay? Twice it mentions that. But the word I want to focus on, the phrase I want to focus on actually, I'll read it again and I'll stop there. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to. Give life to. And that word is, I don't want to call it a Greek word. That word, give life to, it means to vitalize. The same spirit, the spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, is the same spirit who lives in you and will vitalize your body. It will make your body alive. It will quicken you. It will give life to you. It will endue you with life. It will recall to life. That's what that word means, or that phrase means. It will recall to life everything or every area of your life that is dead. That's good news, church. It means that where I have weaknesses now, where there's infirmity, it may not be in my body, it could be in my spirit, it could be in my mind, it could be in life, it could be in nature, it could be in different facets of my life. But wherever there are infirmities, wherever there are weaknesses, wherever there are these things, God has given us authority and we have his spirit that's living in us that is able to rejuvenate you, able to revive you. And church, I'm telling you, that's good news. That's good news, man. It's good news. So in other words, guess what? You have the answer. The same God, the same spirit, all right? The same God who spoke out, Jesus Christ who spoke out to this woman, woman, thou art loosed, is the same God that is saying, hey, put your name in that, you are loosed in Jesus' name. From whatever is holding you, you are loosed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what's holding you. I don't know what's binding you. But remember that we're in that season now of Easter. Jesus Christ sent his son to die. And rose again from the dead. So that we can have hope. So that we can have life. So that he can dwell in us and we can function just the way that God wants us to function. But folks, guess what? If it's to be, it's up to me. You've got to walk in that. You've got to claim that right. You've got to operate in that authority that God has given you. So bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want to ask you a question this morning. What's holding you? What's holding you back? Do you have an infirmity? It's not always a spirit of infirmity, and that's a big difference. Okay, sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But it can be in your circumstances as you're just hearing. What's holding you back this morning? Well, I've got good news for you. It doesn't need to hold you back any longer. because God has given us His Spirit and His Word and His in us. And God can help you with whatever on your journey, with whatever you're facing. It could be financial stuff that you're facing. It could be a neighbor. It could be a work thing. Look, listen to me. All these things, remember now, cause us, when they impound on us, it can make us physically weak. And God is here saying, hey, I'm here to strengthen you. I'm here to help you. Whatever you're going through, whatever the difficulty, you're not alone. I am there with you, and I want to help you, and I want to bless you. So I'm going to pray. But I'm going to pray differently today. Before we take communion, I want you to be honest before the Lord this morning. And is there anyone here who would say, yes, I just need prayer over my physical circumstances, not your body, just physical circumstances or spiritual circumstances. I'm going through something, and what I'm going through right now, okay, it's not pertaining to my body. I want to pray for sickness separately. But is there anyone here who say, yeah, I need God to really help me because I'm going through something in life, okay, whatever it may be, and I need God's help. I need a fresh anointing. Just raise your hand, slip your hand up, and slip it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Several hands went up. Thank you for being honest. And put your hands right back down. Whatever you're going through, I want to tell you right now that God is able. If you can, stand on your feet right where you are. Just stand up. Don't come forward. Just stand right on your seat, right where you are. If you didn't raise your hand, but you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you, stand up right now. Because we're going to rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm making this declaration now that you are loosed from that infirmity, whatever it may be. Whatever is holding you back, whatever is keeping you back, those of you on your feet, I'm talking to you. You are loosed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's loose. This morning I was praying and I was saying, Lord, chains, because it came to my spirit. Chains need to be broken. And sometimes it's not rope, it's not string. Sometimes it's heavy things that hold us. But I'm telling you right now, you are loosed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke everything that holds back. Father, I lift up your precious people before you, Lord. And I pray that you will just be with them, that, oh God, in the name of Jesus, as you've loosed this woman, Father, through the command of your word, Lord, and the authority that your word has, Lord, in the name of the Lord, I just decree right now and declare that your people are loose from whatever is holding them back in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever the circumstances, Lord, whatever the chains, Lord, they're broken. The chains are broken in Jesus' name. With no limitations, the limitations are removed in the name of the Lord. So thank you, Lord, as you are able to rejuvenate, oh God, your people, as we've read in the scripture, Father, as you're able to quicken through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, our mortal bodies. Even so, Lord, you are able to rejuvenate. You're able to quicken. You're able to make alive that area of our lives that seem so dead, so desperate, so barren, Lord God. And we remove it in the name of the Lord. And we declare wisdom is their portion, Lord. We declare fruitfulness in the name of the Lord. We declare and speak forth strength in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that there is nothing too hard and nothing too difficult for you. And so I pray, Lord God, that your people will leave this place today with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And it is their portion right now in Jesus' name. Guard their hearts and their minds, Lord. I pray that this morning. Guard their hearts and their minds, Father. And I pray that you'll help them to discern, Lord, what is from you and what is not from you. I pray that the peace of God will be their portion and that their mind will be stayed upon you, Father, because that's the way we can have perfect peace. And so thank you, Lord, even though it may be turbulent on the outside, Lord God, we can have peace on the inside. And so whatever the storms, Lord, we speak to the storm and we say, peace, be still in the name of Jesus. Lord, you spoke to the storm and Father, you spoke to the winds and the waves. And Lord God, you rebuked the invisible. And so even so, Father, we rebuke the works of the enemy. We rebuke every seed that he may have sown. And we rebuke it, Lord, and we speak to the circumstance, Lord. And we say, it is well in Jesus' name. And so, Father, thank you for what you're doing even now. And help us, oh God, to confess the good confession as we leave this place today. Declaring, Lord God, that you have already made a way out of no way. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Can we give the Lord a clap? You may be seated.